with Ryan Reese. This is Live with Ryan Reese. Call now, 1-888-564-6173. Or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
That is a good question, Melinda. I was just trying to look at my calendar right now to find out, but I think it's in November. It's in November. We're going to be going to Seattle. Here it is. I just found it. So we'll be up in Seattle from November 11th to the 19th. Basically, what we're going to be doing is we're going up to Wayne Taylor's church, Calvary Chapel, Seattle, and we're going to be touring public high schools in Seattle. And it's a lot of atheism up there and a lot of all kinds of stuff, liberal stuff.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So it's going down. I'm excited. Yeah. So the doors are wide open with the high schools. We're going to hit the church and do a wake-up message out there as well. And then the Kill the Noise tour. And like I always tell you guys every week, we are the Whosoever's Movement. We do tour public high schools year-round. Schools starting, I think, like pretty much in a couple weeks now or something like that.
About Monday.
Yeah. Well, some schools are already in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Schools in business, even more so. Join us. Pray for us. If you guys want to donate to the cause, I want to hit 60 schools this year.
Yep.
We hit 20, like, every year we step it up a couple more. Last year, I think we hit 23. I want to triple it this year.
That'd be amazing.
How sick would that be?
Yeah.
I did the numbers. Just say we hit minimum. Who has a calculator out? Do I need to pull it out really quick?
I got a calculator. What do you need to know?
All right, here we go.
Give me the info.
I think I already have the number here because it was an old calculation. But let's look it up. So say we hit 60 schools.
Okay.
Let's just say minimum 500 people show up.
Okay.
What is that?
That is 30,000.
That's 30,000 kids. Minimum. Yep.
That will be hearing. Yeah.
Non-Christian kids that we'd be in front of.
Yeah. Hearing the gospel.
Dude, that would
hearing
be
the
insane.
Message of hope.
And this is an amazing vision because, like, with our schools, I mean, that's the future, the young people. And the Kill the Noise tour, we have seen it have so much momentum. Like Ryan was saying, the year before, then this last year was able to almost double it. And now the heartbeat of maybe even going 60. Now you're going to different states now.
Well, dude, just in Seattle, we're going to hit five. Well, first of all, we're going to hit five schools just in 1 week.
That's
normally
insane.
We hit a school every other week. Or a school a week.
Yeah.
Five schools in 1 week. Oh, and then we're going to Visalia.
Oh,
that's coming up, actually, I think the month before that. And we're hitting five schools in 5 days.
Guys, the vision.
You can drive on that one with us.
The vision for this is an amazing vision. And there's multiple ways that you can get involved. Number one, you pray for it. Maybe you are a part of a school. You want to bring the whosoever's out. You can go to whosoever's at info. Email. Go to whosoever's.com for more information. But another thing. Be able to fund these events. You can donate. You can donate monthly to the whosoever's, just like anything else that we donate to things all over the place. You donate to Starbucks. You donate to In-N-Out or whatever you like that brings you satisfaction.
Just as low as $10.
Yes,
you can get
exactly.
Now.
You know, so it's an amazing way for you to get behind something that's able to change people's lives. So we encourage you guys.
We did our numbers. Well, here, two things. I also forgot that we're actually going to Ray Bentley's church.
Oh, that's right.
We're also going to be doing in San Diego. Mm-hmm. We're doing a mess. That's coming up. We're doing a message at his church, the wake-up message there. Then we're going to come back, and they're lining up five schools. But I think they have access to 20 schools.
Wow.
So the first week, we're going to hit five. That's 15 schools already. That's 2,500 kids in 1 week. We're giving you guys a low number.
Right.
2,500 kids. We just might do, 60 schools. We'd triple. So if we
yeah,
did that.
Exactly.
That would be insane.
Think about it. In 3 weeks, you're going to almost hit your quota for last year. If you do 15 schools, you do 20, right?
I want to do 120. Give me 120.
You better raise it. It's too low now.
No, but you guys, this is all going to lead into our conversation for tonight. The theme is going to be called Discovering the Will of God. You know, this high school tour is important. Our mission is the Great Commission. This is why I'm doing the wake-up message. This is the command that Jesus gave us. He said to go out to the world to make disciples. And then he goes on to say, baptize the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to obey my commandments. Our whole mission here on earth, we're pilgrims here on earth, is our mission is the Great Commission to reach the world or reach the lost at any cost. And you know, the one question that rings with a lot of people, and I think it's even with believers, non-believers, and it's a question that pops up throughout your whole life. It's called discovering the will of God.
Right.
Because there's different chapters in all of our lives. And us three are going to talk about this tonight, that there's different chapters in our life, and you have to keep reanalyzing your life, doing inventory, going, am I in the will of God? Because you could be the senior pastor of a church.
Right.
Yeah. Of a mega church, if you want, say 20,000 people, and it might be God's will that you actually step down and go do some street ministry, just like, I was going to say Jackie Chan. What's his name? Francis Chan.
Right.
I don't know much about him, uh-huh. but I do know he was a part of this church that was a thriving church in Northern California. And for whatever reason, God told him to, I seen him speak one time at a conference in Miami. He stepped down, left this thriving church, and now he's in the streets in the Tenderloin District, which is the sketchiest area probably in all of America, in San Francisco. And God, yeah. because that was God's will.
Right.
Keep
going.
That was God's will for him at that time. And then I was with one of my friends the other day. He manages an enormous pop band right now that's actually exploding mainstream all over MTV Awards, got 4 MTV Awards last year, and now they're performing at the new VMAs this year. He's working with the biggest band, big pop band. And we sat down for lunch yesterday, and he was basically asking me, I just want to know God's will for my life. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like looking at him like, I wish I had that answer right. for you, because that'd be the easy fix. Hey, man, this is what you need to do. But we have to discover God's will in our own personal life. So what I just went on to kind of started telling him that you will know when you're in God's will because you will have peace in your life, number one. And you'll know that you'll have peace in your life, and you'll I'm trying to remember that conversation. It was like 2-hour conversation. But basically, I was just telling that you'll have peace in your life, and you have to find God's will. You have to go after it. You have to read. You have to pray. You know, when you read the Word of God, that's like God's voice speaking back to you
right.
through mm-hmm. His Word. And you can't just say, I want to know God's will. And if you're not seeking Him, then you aren't going to find Him. It says, seeking you will find, knocking the door will be open. We have to draw near to God, and He will draw near to us to find out His will. And we have to step out by faith. Sometimes, you know, walking by faith is by walking by what you don't see in front of you.
Right.
So there's all these different things, and he's in a comfortable position because he believes his band's going to be, you know, ginormous next year, but then he feels like God's calling him out of there. So it doesn't make sense on paper.
You brought up the Francis Chan, and it's like a lot recently, last year or a couple of years, you know, there have been some guys that are in amazing positions, you know, mm-hmm. as a pastor, being able to do a lot of things, but you can't deny when God starts leading you a different direction. David Guzik here in Southern California, amazing Bible teacher. People love his teaching. Blue Letter Bible, all of his outlines are there. And a lot of people have gained a lot of understanding and simplicity of from his teachings. But he felt, even though he was the senior pastor, and I believe in Santa Barbara, he felt the Lord was leading him to be able to go guest speak other places, build on, you know, continue writing books and do different things. And he actually turned over the church for another pastor to lead the church. He's still a pastor there.
Santa Barbara.
Yeah, Santa Barbara.
Chapel, Santa Barbara.
But I mean, that's a big thing, you know.
I just heard about that.
That's being sensitive yep. to the will of God. And I know hopefully in a few weeks, months or so, we'll have your dad here, because as we're talking about this, I think about how his ministry was thriving in Carichaba, West Covina, but he just knew one day, like, he had to move because he didn't have peace any longer being there, even though everything was lined up going fine.
Right. They said they had 4 services yeah. on Sunday morning and 2 Sunday night services.
Yep.
Yep.
That, and then
Wednesday
when they
night.
Decided to,
And then Wednesday night,
they probably had 2 services or something. Yeah. I don't know. It was going
off. And
they
were bursting at the seams yeah. everywhere.
I remember having to get there, like, at least if it started at, you know, 6, you had to get there at least by 5.
2 hours ahead to get to church.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
And they knew they would lose people if they left, too, to Diamond Bar.
Exactly.
That's far from West Covina.
Everyone, and I don't want to get ahead of the game because we got to have your dad tell this
okay.
story.
Yeah.
Hey,
but
don't tell my story.
But I will say this. People told him, all churches die in Diamond Bar, don't do it.
Yeah.
And yet, God is in an amazing
exactly.
work.
Exactly.
Even so, like, yeah, actually, we're going to hold the story today.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, this is an amazing thing because that's what we're talking about today. You were meeting up with your friend recently, like, what's God's will for my life? This is one of the most commonly asked questions. Like in the world, people that don't know the Lord, it's what's my purpose in life?
Right.
Why am I here? You know, because you can go through your routine, your 8 to 5, your job, you know, being in the freeway and all the different things that you go through in life. But you do have those moments. You're like, my life has to be more valuable than just the mundane things.
Right.
What is it?
Exactly.
What is my sweet spot? Where am I supposed to be? And when you come to the Lord, it's amplified even more. It's like, all right, you've spared my life all these years from a lifestyle that was nuts. And you saved me. You pulled me out of darkness. So, Lord, what do you want to do with my life?
And even if you're that person that's like sober and, you know, has a good career.
Yeah.
And you just wake up every morning, get in your car, go to work, come back. But you're not feeling yourself with like tons of like pleasure, like, you know, doing all these trips. And you're just kind of like going through the routine every day. I think that's when that void comes in. Because I think that what Satan does is he likes to keep us preoccupied.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, you know, they'd worship the god of Moloch or Ashtoreth, you know, the god of pleasure and man, god of mammon, you know, to fill that void going after that stuff. But if you're just like, just say an average Joe Schmo, you're just kind of going, clocking in, clocking out of work. And you have to think going, what is there to life? Like, what am I even doing here?
Right.
Because, I mean, you have, that's where the void comes in. But I think because a lot of us, like you and I, we got into like girls and drinks. And so you fill that empty void with like being wasted.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you basically turn your brain off to not think about those things. But you, on the other hand, Melinda, you weren't into that stuff. So you were going through life sober minded. Were you doing like a bunch of drugs?
Yeah.
You were?
Yeah.
Big time?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I guess you found God when you were young.
Yeah, I found him when I was obviously younger, but you know.
So you were, that's what you were involved with too.
Yeah.
Can we get a Joe Schmo in here? Joe Schmo,
like, just someone that's just going through
hey,
life.
Hey, Bjorn, get in here. Now, Bjorn, you're 9 years old. Tell me about life. Do you have an empty void?
But seriously, but anyone who has a void, they fill it with something. It might not be drugs. It might not be alcohol. It might not be women. But they're filling it with something because that void has to be filled somehow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So what may be success. It may be money. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it may be, maybe material things that are not necessarily considered terrible. I mean, is that really a sin to be successful?
No.
Is it a sin
just
to
donate
have
to the whosoever's?
Yeah, exactly. Is it a sin to have money? Is it a sin to have material things? Like, those are not necessarily a sin where you look at them and go, oh, you need to change your life tonight. You know what I'm saying? And so that their void is being filled somehow, some way by something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of recognizing that's what you're doing.
But I just think, like, I mean, if you have all this money, you have this big house. You get the, you know, you have your Learjet or whatever, but just like anything new, you're excited for like a week and then you're like,
exactly,
whatever. How many Bentleys can you buy?
Exactly.
Mayweather bought like 10.
Right. Right. And that's Solomon's whole thing. That's what Solomon said.
Yeah.
Solomon said the same thing. He had everything, but still there was a void. He called it vanity of vanities. Like, I don't get it. There's still something lacking. If God's not the center of my life, and I have, and he was a great architect. He was a great poet. He had all the women in the world. He had big parties. Like, he was the man. People came from all over the place just to hear him speak. And yet he said, but what in reality do I have more than a poor man? We both go to the grave. Like, what's the purpose of life?
Right.
And it's a great question to ask. And really, I truly feel that it is found when you come to the place where you're broken, you submit your will to God's will, and he will start directing your steps.
Mm-hmm.
For all of us, it's different. I remember sitting in church, coming from the lifestyle that I did, but just listening to the word of God for my first time in my life and starting to read the Bible, you know, not at church, but just at home and stuff, and then coming with a heart of expectancy. And I remember sitting there in a congregation at Golden Springs, you know, 2,000 people in the sanctuary when your dad's speaking. And this is just hitting my heart so much. I remember having this thought in my mind, like, if everybody believes what is being taught, like, we could impact so many people's lives.
Right.
You know, like, I needed to hear this. So I have friends that need to hear what I'm learning right now. And then it was like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
What is the purpose for my life? You know, and the Lord would stir and show me things in my own personal life that would start my road down a journey of faith of being used by God.
Right.
But God speaks through his word. He gives those directions. Like I felt even like today I was just sitting there reading my Bible because like right now I'm in this place where I'm trying to find God's will for me in this next chapter. Mm-hmm. And I've been going through Chuck Smith through the Old Testament just with like I'm in Jeremiah right now, but like God just say, hold, read the Bible. Because I could get on like a Bible marathon, like a Bible study marathon, and not read the Bible and just like trying to hammer through like 6 hours of Bible studies a day just to burn through it.
Right.
But I feel like God just goes, stop, get your Bible and just start reading from Matthew and just go all the way through. And then as you read stuff, it's like you read that. Like I read that one chapter today when Jesus was talking about, you know, how Jesus went from town to town preaching and teaching, casting out demons, healing every sickness. And then he went on to say, you know, he gave he saw the sheep that looked like a sheep without a shepherd. And then it was in Matthew. And then he says, the harvest is ripe, the workers are few. Who will I send? Mm-hmm. And I felt like God was like, he spoke to me to reconfirm that I was supposed to do that wake up tour and I was supposed to be touring around speaking because I was like, okay, God, like I'm speaking at Shine, but is this, you know, I've been asking you, like, right. I don't know, like, is this exactly what God wants me to do in my life? Mm-hmm. To be in God's will, just like what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
And then like he speaks through his word. And that's what's important is like what you were saying about the word of God. If you want to hear God's direction, hear his voice, it's the word of God. Or you could even vouch for this too. You could be listening to Bible studies and you could be hearing like someone teaching in this Bible study and it feels like you're the only one in the room with God. Like God's like speaking to you through this guy. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Like, that's how he speaks. How you get the direction.
Right.
But people want the quick fix in their life.
Right.
They want to go to a pastor or someone that they think is like more spiritual than them or whatever and say, so how do I know God's will?
Right.
Right. I think, like, for instance, like, I think you guys, you know, when you guys came to the Lord, it's like you guys found your will, you know, God's will for your life pretty easily, I would say. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had this plan and it was for that time and right there. But like when I came to know the Lord, I mean, I was young. And so like just kind of like out there just living my life like for the Lord. And I wasn't like, you know, but I don't think that I ever really discovered like his will for my life till like a long time. It was like I was still like growing up and discovering who I was in the Lord because I was somebody else outside of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then I had people telling me, you know what? You're going to teach one day. And I'd be like, no, that's not me. I'm not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? And so I kind of just brushed it off because I didn't think that I was capable of doing it. And it's funny, but I mean, when the Lord has a will for your life, he always brings it back. It's like you can't get away from it, you know? And finally, you know, it was the last time someone said, you're going to teach the word of God. And I just said, I surrendered. I'm like, okay, Lord. If anyone ever asks me to teach, I will never say no. And I've never said no. And it's like, it's open so much. And it's like, when I'm teaching, I don't necessarily like it. And I'm not like, oh yeah, this is the best thing ever. I'm scared to death and I'm nervous. But yet there's such a peace about it too. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's this joy. There's this freeing thing inside of me that I'm like, I know that this is what he's called me to do. You know what I'm saying? And it's so, it's like, you know, you can go through your Christian life and not necessarily be in tune with what the Lord has for you, but that doesn't mean necessarily that you're not completely connected to the Lord. It's just that you're not seeking after his will. And I think that that's what it was for me. I was like, I'm a Christian. I'm doing the right things, but not knowing really that, okay, you have to seek after his will because he has a will for your life. You know what I'm saying? And so as, you know, the Lord was showing me that, it just became more clear. And so I just, you know, wanted...
Did he give you desire? Like, okay, so yes. So people were telling you that. But inside of you, did you have something inside of you like leading you like going, I want to teach? Or... Was there any desire at...
I pushed it aside because whenever like someone would say that, because I just remember sitting in mostly women's Bible studies, not necessarily like church, but I would just sit there and listen and go, okay, so how would I teach that? Like, oh yeah, I would have done it like this or I would have done it like that. And so, but I think, you know, within that, like I thought, well, is that being prideful? Like, I think I could do it better. You know what I'm saying? So it was almost like a mind game that Satan was playing with me, like trying to think that that was prideful instead of necessary. The Lord was preparing me. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like every study I'd hear, I'd be like, okay, so how would I teach that? How would I go about that? What would be my main points? You know what I'm saying? And just preparing me to think like that so that when I did surrender, that I would be able to, you know, put a study together to be able to teach it.
So God, so God will put those desires in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the same thing with teaching as well, but for the common, or not common, just for, because I mean, there's only a few people that really teach.
Right, right.
But people that don't teach, he'll put those desires in your heart. Like, man, I see those people. I want to go help those people.
Right.
Or I want to go serve. Mm-hmm. Or I see these guys putting on these concerts. I want to go be a part of that. There's, you know, there's different desires that God will put stirring in you to go. I mean, we had Hubble. Was it
Melissa Hubble?
Melissa Hubble. She had like a desire to go be a missionary.
Yeah, right. She's in Africa.
Yeah, she's in Africa.
And it's gnarly there.
Yeah. So, but God put that desire.
Yes.
Put it in her heart. She didn't just wake. She didn't even want to go to Africa.
No.
At first.
Not at all.
So God will put desires in your heart. And I think that's when you kind of start to act on them and pray about them.
Right. Exactly. But I think people also can be afraid of seeking the will of God because they're afraid that he is going to want them to do something that they don't want to do. Do you know what I'm saying? They're like, well, I'm not missionary material, so I'm not going to pray about it or whatever. But we have to understand that the desire of, you know, the Lord for us is to give us what our desires are. You know what I'm saying? As if we're walking in the Lord, our desires are his desires. So we're in check and we're in tune. We're walking side by side and we're like seeking him. So he's not going to make us do something that we wouldn't want to do.
Right.
We're not going to be like, oh, that's your will for my life. Well, forget it. Like, I don't like that. I don't want to do that.
Like be a missionary in Africa?
Yes, exactly. Yes. You know?
I'm all, God, I love you, but being a missionary in Africa, I'm like, I was thinking Hawaii.
Yeah, no.
Oahu.
Yeah.
Or what's the other one? The other island, where Bethany Hamilton lives.
Kauai?
Kauai.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I'll be a missionary in Kauai.
Yeah, exactly.
Send me, Lord. Send me.
And I think people get bummed out on the opposite angle that they're praying to do this thing, yeah, and the Lord never allows them to do that. And I think they have to realize, okay, that's okay. That is not either it's not now or that's not God's will for your life. So you need to move on.
One thing I want to add too. Also, people think that they can't do it.
Right.
Think about how much stuff we're doing, you guys, now that I never thought I'd be doing. I never thought you, like, teaching.
Yep.
I mean, you're a gnarly Bible teacher teaching Bible school,
yes,
and all this stuff. And from the your past to what you're doing now, our friends are blown away.
Right.
The fact that that's happening.
The fact that he can read. No, I'm just kidding.
I still can't read. But dude.
Yeah.
Everything that I'm doing now, as far as like ministry goes,
because
I mean, putting concerts on and working on product, I can do that stuff in my sleep. Marketing,
right.
I can do that all day long. That's easy.
Yeah.
But actually teaching the Bible, yep, producing radio shows and other ministry stuff, you know, all that stuff, dude, I was like, there's no way. I remember seeing Gary Beeler teach on Monday nights at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And I'm sitting there when I first got saved and I'm like, how does he get up there and just teach the Bible? And he's funny. He's hilarious. It's like communicating. Like, people get it. I love it. I mean, that was like, he was like my first pastor, like my live pastor.
Because
Chuck had it through the headphones, but
yeah,
Garrett, I was there live every Monday. And I was like, dude, I was just tripping. Like, because I looked at him, he's like my age, you know?
Right.
I'm like, how does he do it, dude? That's insane.
Right.
No, I always felt the same way too, you know? And this is why I think this is such a cool topic to talk about. Because I'm sure many people can relate to this. If you're tuning in right now, this is Live with Ryan Reese, and we're just talking about the will of God for our lives. And I like what Ryan is bringing up right now, because that is a place where people get hindered. When you start looking at your own inadequacies, like, dude, I'm a fool. Like, people that know us, horrible at school. I know Ryan was horrible at school. I was horrible at school, too. He barely went to school.
I never graduated.
I barely went to school. But yet this is common throughout the Bible. Moses said, I can't speak. I can't go before a Pharaoh. But the Lord says, don't say you can't speak. I'm going to go before you. Jeremiah says, I'm a youth. How are you going to use me? And so on and so forth. Peter was a fisherman. All these stories throughout the Bible speak of this. I remember for me, again, hearing Raul teach, and kind of like with you, mm-hmm. I was like thinking, like, as I was there for a while, I kind of knew where he was going, was going to go,
right.
Like a compliment verse and stuff like that. Like the Lord was kind of showing me, like, I'm supposed to do that, but
right.
like I know my past. Like if I had to speak in public, I would ditch class.
Right.
Like I wouldn't go to English class for a 5-minute speech.
Right.
It would petrify me so much to speak in front of a class like that. I could speak with my friends, joke around
right.
or whatever, but all eyes focus on me in a classroom. Dude, I'd shut down. There's no way I could do it.
Exactly.
And so as the Lord started, oh, and for, you're talking about Gary Beeler, Scott Salamet was that one for me. I remember going with him to these high school campuses, and he'd have this little Bible, and he would teach and expound on all of this stuff, not looking at notes. I was like, how does this guy memorize all this stuff? And it all flows, and all same thing can be funny, and it can connect and everything, mm-hmm. and everyone's like engaged. And I would just like marvel, like, that's a trip. But then after time, just you being in the Word and then taking steps of faith, God starts opening up doors for you. And you say, you see your gifts. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I would say this. I think this is an important point to note, because if you say, what is God's will for my life? There are some, there's what is known as the general will of God. And it's broken down. There's a few verses that I'm going to break down really quick. First, you have Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it says, we are called to be living sacrifices, and not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is God's will for your life. So it starts by a living sacrifice. That's like, Lord, here I am. I give you my life willingly. It's not a dead sacrifice. It's willingly. I'm mm-hmm. all yours. So that's part of the will of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1-6, it says, this is God's will, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's holiness to the Lord. That's very important. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, I believe, it says, it is God's will for you to give thanks. Give thanks for all that God has done in your life. And then another one in 1 Peter, I believe 4, at the end of the chapter, verse 19, says, and it may be in your life, that it is God's will for you to suffer. Like, these are the stages of life. Are you down for it? Are you mm-hmm. open for it? And then as you recognize those kind of scriptures and that truth that the Lord has laid down for us, you will see that God's will for your life personally will begin opening up. But it all comes by submission to God. I think of, in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle. Amazing story. But when he is called and he is confronted with the Lord on the Damascus Road, when Ananias prays for him, and first Ananias is like, no, I can't pray for this guy. Like, he's like killing Christians. Like, I'm a Christian. Like, how am I going right. to pray for this guy? God says this, go pray for him. He's a chosen vessel of mine, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. He's going to be a witness to the kings, to the priests, to the Jews, to the Gentiles. He's going to suffer many things for my sake. So right in the beginning of Paul's call to ministry, there was also a promise to suffer. He doesn't give him the full, like, this was going to take place in the next 25 years,
right.
you're saying. Like, some of us just want, like, somebody go on a whiteboard, okay, this is what's going to happen this year,
yeah.
this year, this year.
15-year plan.
Yeah, the 15-year
exactly.
plan. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm.
It starts by walking by faith daily, mm-hmm. and there's peaks, there's valleys, there's moments of taking steps of faith. There's areas of dying to the flesh, all these lessons to be learned
there's
along the way.
There's times when you just sit still.
Yep.
Yep.
For sure.
And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you went to do this last year, as you had your children and everything, there was like this redirecting of like preparation for what God had for you. And now you're back in high schools doing all this kind of stuff. We do go through those seasons. Those seasons are necessary.
It exactly. changes. And that's the whole thing. To know God's will for your life, you have to constantly be doing inventory, constantly be being aware of what he wants to do.
Exactly.
He might want to just switch it all up. There's like, I look at life like a book. It's just different chapters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's always different chapters that God's molding and shaping us for. Already at
break.
Yeah, we're at the break.
So, alrighty. Well, I guess 2 minutes.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Bye.
More Live with Ryan Reese coming up.
Everything all right?
Sure. Call now. 1-888-564-6173. Or post your questions using the hashtag LiveRyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
I think I speak for the entire administration when I say whoop-de-doo.
Now, back to Live with Ryan Reese.
Don't say what I warn you.
Loud noises!
Oh, my. Like Bozo the Clown?
Wow. Yes. I have big feet. I can't wear Chuck Taylors.
But you know what the problem with those things is? There's no insoles. My feet hurt now at all. Yeah. As an old guy.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
They might look good with your kit, but if you're hobbling and you're in pain, you're like...
That is it worth it?
Hey, girls wear high heels.
Exactly.
That's true.
They wear
you
high heels.
You gotta suffer for fashion, right?
You gotta count the cost.
Yeah.
It's true.
Gosh darn it.
So, what were we talking about before the break? We were talking about God's will... And what are we talking about?
Yeah, I think God's will for our life and what that looks like and the different stages that are there and being sensitive to that change. You know, you've gone through different changes from the beginning. Like you thought, well, this is what I'm going to do. And yet I know you didn't think you were going to teach. There were multiple times that your dad wanted you to speak in that first year. But the Lord had to do a work in your life for that next chapter to begin. And that's gone through different seasons. My life has gone through different seasons and it's important because sometimes it could be minute things. Like I remember in the beginning, I was involved in so many things in ministry, like so many different things. And then after a while, luckily I heard God's voice saying, I'm doing too many, I'm scattered. I'm all over the place. And I started having to back out of things. So one of them was helping on the high school ministry. Mm. And Scott Salem, who's a close friend of mine, there was a part where maybe I stayed a little bit longer helping him just because he's my friend. But yet I felt God was leading me out of there. And if I would have stayed there, I would have missed out. After I left that particular thing, that's where things started opening up for me, teaching in other areas, being more exposed to other aspects of ministry that really shaped my life and shaped what I do in teaching and ministering and all these different things and the practical side of dealing with people. So there are valuable lessons to be learned, and I'm looking for those new lessons. You know, we were talking about this the other day, Ryan, too. It's like, I need to be sensitive. Doing this radio show, I didn't just say, all right, let's do the radio show. I remember in the beginning, it's been over 2.5 years now, and I couldn't just do it because you're my friend. It was like, I needed to pray, like, is this what God wants me to do? Because there's other things that I got going on as well. So I needed to make sure that God's peace is guiding me in this. I have other responsibilities, but once I had peace, Lord was showing me like this is a season. This is the time that I'm calling you to be a part of this. Then I was able to say yes, and things are able to flow.
And I think that's important. I think just because the things that are put in front of you are spiritual, like
good things. Yeah,
good things. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like doing this radio show, how could that be a bad thing? But that doesn't necessarily mean that is God's will for your life. And that's why every situation or everything that's brought before you, you need to pray about it. And you need to know that the Lord has called you to do that. Because if not, you could be doing, you know, a work for the Lord. But if that's not his will, it's not going to mean anything. You're still going to be out of his will, even though you're still doing something, you know, that's godly. It doesn't make it right.
So that's like what Michael Guido says when he says, people want to say, hey, God, I'm going to go do this over here. Bless it.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. That happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Happens a
because,
lot.
Just because you're involved with a church event or whatever. Yeah.
Sometimes we look at other people and we want what they have.
Right.
Sometimes people want to be a pastor teacher where God hasn't called them to do that. Sometimes people want to be a missionary because they get moved emotionally by a movie or by somebody that gives a testimony of them being a missionary. And so, but they haven't taken the time to pray and allow God to confirm it in their lives. And I know stories of people that thought that was it and went in the mission field and were like, wait a minute, I made a mistake.
Exactly.
I ain't supposed to be here. I need to go home.
Or the opposite of like, this is where I know I'm supposed to be, but the Lord never opens the door because that isn't the will for your life. And then they get bitter because it didn't happen. And so they're missing out on the blessing that the Lord does have for them because they're so tuned on what they want, which is being a missionary, whatever it is, or being a teacher. And so they can't even like open their mind to be like, okay, Lord, like obviously that's not what you have for me. So what is it that you have for me? Because the Lord has something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not just supposed to accept the Lord and just do life. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is a will for all our lives, and it's just a matter of finding out what that will is and doing it.
Well, let's even bring it down to, like, parents now, because God's will is not the fact that you were to have kids and then you neglect them and you go out and work and you're never around.
Yep.
You know, being a mom is, like, probably the gnarliest job around.
Yep. And it's a calling.
Dude, yeah. It's gnarly. Like, to be a mom and to be there all day long with these little babies. And then you got to teach. I mean, dude, like, I don't want to read books.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To the kids.
Yeah.
I don't want to clean diapers. You know, all the, dude, like, think about that. Like, you guys are all parents. I mean, that's like, it's gnarly, but God's will is not. You need to be around to, like, raise these kids. And I mean, there's a balance, obviously, as they get older and stuff. But being in God's will is God's will is to raise these kids in the ways of the Lord. The Bible teaches it. Mm-hmm. So you have to have that time to even pour into them. Because I mean, I just want to reach out to the parents, you know, because there's probably moms and, you know, moms that are probably going through stuff and they need to be encouraged, you know, that God's purpose is to raise them and then to see what he wants to do, because there's different chapters in that whole situation.
Go ahead.
I mean, you have a wife. Yeah. She's one of my three
savages.
Boys.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure she's going through it. My wife, you know, same thing. You went through it, Melinda.
Yes. I would have to say that.
You have to say to the mothers.
Just because you have kids doesn't mean your life is over. Mm-hmm. It's a new season in your life. And the Lord brings opportunities every day if you allow him to. When you are a mom, you know what I'm saying? And it's just a matter of recognizing those opportunities and doing them. Like, to me, like, being a mom, it was sacrificing everything about myself. Like, it's not about me anymore at all. It's about my kids and what's best for them. And knowing that the Lord has entrusted me with these kids and knowing that one day they're going to stand before him and it's going to come down to, what did I do with them? Like, how did I instruct them? How did I teach them? Because it's, what does it say in the Bible? The word never comes back void. But if I'm not giving them the word, then they don't have anything. You know what I'm saying? So to just teach them, you know, what God's word says and to seek after his will, even as a child, and just instill that in them when they're young and hopes that they stay with it forever. But that's necessarily doesn't always happen. But nowhere to come back to if they do stray. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But to me, being a mom is like the best thing ever. Like, I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know, it is like, I mean, sometimes I think like, man, maybe I should like be like
another mom, like have more babies.
No, not have more babies. No, but I think about like being like a foster mom, like bringing like troubled kids into my home and like being effective that way. Because
so you can watch all of our kids.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Dude, I know people trip out because I'm like, bring your kids over. I don't care. The more the merrier. Like, more doesn't mean stress to me.
Yeah.
More means I can be effective in these people's, in these kids' lives. Yeah. Like, I love it when my friends, you know, my kids' friends come over, because then I'm like, okay, like, we're all together. Like, we can just, you know, chop it up, whatever, however we want. But yet to be that light to those that might not know the Lord or that do but don't get it at home, and see how, you know, our home is, you know, centered around Christ. You know what I'm saying? And just, you know, I don't know. I just love kids.
Is it fair to say that things get easier, obviously, when they get older? I mean, this is like a different stage. It's not like you have a bunch of like little babies running around.
No, I don't know if it gets easier. It just changes. So like I'm busier now than I was when they were babies.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the car more. I'm running them to this thing, to that thing, to this. I'm never home. It's like we leave the house at.
But that's better.
It right? is.
Is that better than sitting at home and changing diapers all day?
But when they're little, they're on my schedule. I'm
now
on,
you're
their
on their schedule.
I don't have a schedule. They put me.
You're in school.
You're over here in the corner smiling.
Exactly.
Shaking his head.
Waking them all up. Getting their brush their teeth. Getting them out of the house with this chaos.
He doesn't brush
exactly.
his teeth.
Right? Yes.
Oh, that's the like hardest thing for my wife. You know, getting out of the house where you got three boys, you know, wake up different ways and everything. Getting them all dialed in to bring them places.
Because they're running everywhere, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. But you got baseball practice.
Well, then
you
I mean, you're
going to
notice you got girls. Their hair's not right that day. They have a meltdown. Luckily, my kids go.
Scrunchy?
kids go to private school, or it would be madness about dressing, what they're going to wear. I mean, it just, I mean, it falls apart real easily in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say it's easier. It's just different. It's just so different. You know what I'm saying? I'm busier now because I'm doing what they want to do in a sense.
That is a huge call from God on a mother's life. Mm-hmm. Parents' life.
Yep.
It is.
Yeah.
It's sacrifice.
It is sacrifice.
It is.
To be, this to me, in those relationships is important. When you talk about your relationship with the Lord, how does success come in a relationship with the Lord? Denial of self. Mm-hmm. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Another stage happens when you get married.
Right.
When you are single, you do your own thing for the most part. You're on your own schedule. When you get married, okay, now you're taking somebody's thoughts in consideration.
Oh, single days.
You know what I'm saying? But now as you have children, even more so.
Yeah.
If you want to be an effective parent, you take a back seat.
Exactly.
And like you were saying, it's God's will. It's not an accident to have children.
No.
It's the most amazing thing. I love being a father as well. And like you have to be good stewards of what God has given to you, which just means that you need to be responsible for those things that God has entrusted to you.
Right.
And those are those lines.
Exactly.
And the way you treat them, the way you live, you're an example to Christ, to your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying it a while ago, Ryan, it was like, people can get so busy doing all these things, but if you neglect your children, your family, to me, it's like, of what value?
Right.
You know, yes, you need to show them that you're dedicated and you're serving the Lord. There has to be that balance, but you also have to be aware of their needs as well. There's some times where you just have to tune out all that stuff and just spend time focused just totally on them and make sure that that time is valuable between you guys. And sometimes it's just a little things. I'm learning as I go, like to have these little moments like with each one of them because those are moments that you're never going to get back. They're seasons of life, you know? Just as like, you know, if the Lord tarries, you know, we'll get older. Our children will, you know, get older as well. And now we're going to have more freedom in some of our own time schedule and stuff. But right now, this is where the Lord has placed us in our lives. But I will say this, throughout all of that, you have to continue fulfilling the God's call in your life.
Right.
Because if some people say, oh, well, I only do this. I only do this stuff with my family and I stop doing things that God is calling me to do. That's not right either.
No.
You got to know like what that balance is and where God is leading, where his peace is. He'll work out those details. The Bible says to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. All these things will be added to you. Things will start falling into place. And it's not to say that you're going to be maybe off balance once in a while, but you have to be able to be discerning of that and be willing to learn.
Right.
I want to add one thing. You know, you said kids are not accidents.
Right.
You know, maybe you're in a situation that, you know, some of you listeners and you're pregnant or you have your girlfriend pregnant or something. Kids are not an accident. God is the giver of life. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people can't even get pregnant.
Right.
So the fact that you actually have a baby, maybe it was just something out of God's will as far as like, you know, having sex out of marriage or whatever. But children are not accidents. In order for that to happen, for a woman to get pregnant and for the egg to take and for it to fertilize and the whole thing and become a baby, that is just a miracle from God. So discovering God's will in our life, I mean, if you have a kid, he gave you that kid.
Right.
So that's in his will.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Maybe it wasn't in the context of being married or whatever, but the fact that you are pregnant right now, that is God's will.
Because and your life life-giver. Isn't over.
Your life isn't over. Your life's not over.
It's just beginning.
I'd like to add one thing to that as well, because, you know, with people that maybe are born into a family where the dad's not around or the mom's like in a mess or didn't even raise with their parents, maybe grandparents had to raise them. And maybe they're wrestling with the fact, like, maybe I was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really want to have me.
Right.
But even in that, there are no accidents with the Lord.
Nope.
The fact that you're here, that God has created you, he has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. You will see great things. I have witnessed and been able to be around people that have been in that same circumstance as well. And so I would just encourage you, man, that there are no accidents. God is on the throne. He is over our lives. And as we find out what that will of God for our lives, great things will happen. But to go with that, this is what we were talking about earlier as well, and I think this is an important point to transition into, is that there are many that miss out on what God's will is for their life, and they settle.
Right.
You settle. It's known as the permissive will. Yeah, it's just right. Like, that's the routine. That's mm-hmm. just going to church and, all right, it's almost over. He's going to be done by 12:15. He's going to be done by this time, and then I'm going to go out, get something to eat. Then I'm going to go home, go to sleep, go to work. Mm-hmm. And it's just this routine, but you're not praying at like that the freshness of like, God, what do you have for my
right.
life? And
isn't that religion?
Yeah.
You can find yourself in a religious state going through the motions. Religion is emotions.
Right.
But there's not that relationship or like trying to go to pursue God.
Right.
You're
mm-hmm.
just like church Wednesdays. Church Sundays, mm-hmm. give some money to the church. My kids are in Christian school.
Right. I'm doing everything right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, in, you know, really,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing everything right, so it's all good. But, I mean, I would challenge.
No freshness.
I would challenge people out there that feel like that to just truly just call upon the Lord and just ask him to show you, like, what is your, God's will for your life. And just truly, truly, truly seek him and pray and figure out what it is that he has for you, because he has something for you. It's not like only certain people. He has something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And what it is, and you have to figure out what it is by what? Reading his word, by praying, by spending that time with him. Not like, dear Lord, just bless me today. Okay, what do you have for me? Okay, goodbye. Yeah. You know, but just truly just sitting at his feet so that everything's quiet, so that you can hear his voice. And everything that you do, you know, like I'm in the car and I'm all constantly talking to the Lord, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's not a matter of like, oh, okay, it's got to be like so ceremonial and I mm-hmm. have to be in a certain place and I have to be on my knees or whatever, you know, it's like, but that's when you know you have a relationship with the Lord because you talk to him all the time and it's not anything that's like planned or anything. It's just like everyday stuff. And you're just like, okay, Lord, like this is going on. What do you think about it? And
it could be these little prayers too.
Yeah, it's just exactly.
Like whatever's on your mind at that moment. It doesn't have to be this long drawn out prayer.
Yeah.
I think it's important to have perspective. You know, one thing that your dad has drilled into my mind and probably a lot of people's is like this. You have to have vision and passion.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see opportunities that are in your life. And I, coming in ministry and being next to your dad so much, it didn't matter if, like, I would meet him at the gym early in the morning in my first couple of years there. It would build relationships. He'd joke around with people all the time. And then these people would come up to him, going to eat tacos, which he eats tacos all the time, or ice cream. Like, these are opportunities that I would see. And that's why there's, like, a freshness. Like, you see that each day that you have is an opportunity to be used by God. And I think that's what everyone has to truly realize. You're in the workplace. You're at the DMV in like the most horrible place to be at.
Right.
But like God might have you there for an opportunity. You see somebody bummed out. And when God, because that's what really I feel like fires you up is when you say, wow, like God used me in this particular area.
Right.
Because I would say this. If I was just sitting in the congregation and not doing anything, I would feel like lifeless,
right?
You know, like because you're in the front lines, you're doing things, you're stepping out of your comfort zones for me speaking, teaching and doing these things or whatever your gifts are. That's your sweet spot. That's where mm-hmm. you need to be. And then things will flow. It's not going to be easy sometimes.
Right.
There's all different things you could serve in too. I mean, you could talk to the church. There's people that worked in addictions ministry. There's people that will serve coffee and food to the women's thing. There's ushers. Think about the ushers.
Right.
Security. They're the security. You know, they're mm-hmm. there ushering, making sure everything's running smooth.
Maintenance.
They come after
yes.
work. Maintenance. There's people that go out, do evangelism stuff in the street. There's the high school. There's the junior high. There's music. I'm just trying to think of just other what other things. There's the Boy Scouts. There's all kinds of different things.
Children's ministry.
And yeah, children's watching kids. You're like, oh,
exactly.
I just love babies.
Right.
Come watch babies during church service.
Right.
Yeah. And
that's a start. That's just a start point.
Right.
To see that
where
could be
he's
going to
use you yeah. and what it is that he has for you. And not one place is better than the other.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Not one calling or.
God, it said the scriptures say God's no respecter of people.
Exactly.
No partiality.
No.
Yeah, I was teaching this last night. We were going through 1 Peter when it talks about like the inheritance that we have. But basically I broke down as like it says there's no partiality with God. That means that God doesn't look at Billy Graham higher than myself.
Right.
Or Chuck Smith or whoever else that have gone before us and done ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God isn't a respecter of persons. You know,
right.
He cares for me. He loves us the same. And he can use us in ways that we never thought possible if we just submit to his will in our lives. And I would just encourage people, like, that's where the fire will resonate in your life. That's where passion and direction will resonate in your life. When you recognize your life isn't pointless, it's not meaningless.
Right.
You are leaving a legacy behind for your family, for your children. Your life's not a waste. Satan wants to waste your life. He wants to rip you off. He wants to get you depressed, murmuring, complaining all the time. That was the children of Israel's problem. They murmured and complained in the wilderness,
right.
And they were missing out on God's will for their life. God's will for their life was bringing them into the promised land, but because they had their eyes on the things of the flesh and not having faith in the Lord, they died in the wilderness.
Exactly.
You know what's interesting? I was just thinking how, you know, at that first verse that we were talking about earlier tonight, it says, Jesus says, go out and make disciples of the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey my commandments. Think about how many Christians, even guys that are on payroll with the church, different people, that aren't even like leading people to the Lord.
Right.
Like, think about that.
Yep.
How many people are just going through the routine in ministry or not in ministry, that are just full Bible believing Christians,
right?
Not ever using any opportunity or even trying to lead people to the Lord,
right?
Because we've all been called to that. That's
exactly.
that's the call that Christ has put on all of us.
That's
individually,
universal. Right? Yeah.
And before I was even teaching or doing any of that stuff, when I first got saved, God would like prompt me to talk to certain people, like at the car wash, or like just create a conversation,
right?
And then I would just maybe share like a little piece of my story about a situation that was going on in my life, you know, that maybe that related to like what they were talking about or whatever. There's all these little ways that God will use you, but it's so easy to just become institutionalized and not know or disconnect from that call that God's called you to be.
Right.
So easy. Well, and I think that's why the church is asleep too these days.
Yeah.
People are just caught in this routine. And, you know.
Well, you're so busy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're in ministry. You work for a church. So you're just busy doing ministry and forgetting that.
But there's no freshness. You're just busy.
I know. Exactly. That's my point.
Busy.
Forgetting the point that, you know what? We're supposed to still be going out. Even though you're working in ministry, you're still supposed to be going out and being effective and ministering to people. You know what I'm saying? And not get so caught up in the busyness of it, because there is busyness in ministry. There is stuff that, you know, you just comes natural and you just do it, you know, and then you forget, oh, I got to go out. I got to be effective.
This is why it's important to stay in the Word.
Yep.
To read and
keep
get fired
fresh.
Up. That's how you keep that fresh. That's how you keep that freshness is by hearing God's voice and having him speak to you. Because once he gives you that word, he speaks to you, you're like all fired up all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And I mean, think about how do churches grow? Sheep beget sheep. You can't expect the pastor to bring in all the people. You know what I'm saying?
It's if you do outreach at a church, you know, we've been talking about doing some stuff at our church, but if the people don't bring the people, we can have all these amazing speakers as an outreach, you know, as it's like an in-reach to bring friends.
Right.
But if no one brings anyone.
Yeah. And that's the strength of the church.
Yes.
And that's why everybody plays a role, like we were saying. Like everyone. There's 21 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some have multiple gifts. Some have one. Whatever it is, when you discover those gifts that God has given to you, you'll see great things in your life. You'll complement the ministry that you're a part of. And in your life, you'll be able to be in that flow where the Lord is just blessing the steps of your life and the lessons to be learned in discovering the will of God. Things are not always easy, but as you submit to God, you're a living sacrifice, you're listening to his voice, you're staying in his word, you're spending time in prayer, the Lord will align his will with your will will align with God's will, and then you'll have peace.
Perfect.
Yep.
Well, if you want past shows, you can go to ryan-reese.com. We get all of our past shows for like the last 2 years. A lot of good stuff there. the Whosoever's Movement. You can go there too, get some of the product, represent your faith wherever you're at, and even get involved with us to pursue the Kill the Noise tour. If you are a whoever you are, and you have if you have high schools around you, please contact us. We would love to come and go to the public high schools. We would love to come to your church, do the wake up message, and get the church all fired up and prayed up, so we could reach this generation. Get involved with us. We would love to be a part of what you guys are doing in your city and get these kids into church so they can get discipled and we could teach them to obey God's commandments. And then they can go out and reach their generation. It's important. We got to get the youth. We have to get the youth. If not, what's going to happen to the church?
Exactly.
We love you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Peace.
This has been Live with Ryan Reese. To connect or find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for Live with Ryan Reese.
Hello, this is Dr. Doug Grotheis, host of Truth Tribe, where we seek the truth through reason and evidence about what matters most. And we are not tribal, since truth is for everyone. Please join me at the Truth Tribe as I discuss the reasons for Christian faith, the Christian worldview, and moral issues such as abortion and gender ideology. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search Truth Tribe on your favorite podcast app.